Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of my podcast, Putting and the Gutter. My name is Joe Ambrose, PGA PBA member, and I am your host, and let's get right to it. First of all, I'd like to congratulate Scottie Scheffler on becoming the first back-to-back winner ever at the Players' Championship. It really was a great final round. It was really close with a lot of guys, and Scottie won by one shot. The scores were a little lower than I expected, but the weather was kind of calm. Didn't have severe winds like they usually do at TPC Sawgrass. And Scottie's been playing great, and that's why he's number one in the world now. He's just playing unbelievable. And we all said that when he gets his putter straightened out with the way he strikes the golf ball, he's going to be really tough to beat. And right now he's really tough to beat. So congratulations to him and all the other guys that finished in the top 10. It was a really good tournament to watch, and good. I still wish that everyone was there, but we're still a ways away from that. And that's going to lead me right into my next segment. This time is the PGA Tour versus LIV Golf. That's the reason that the fields haven't been the great ones that we've seen in the past, is because a lot of the major tour players have signed with LIV and are contractually obligated to them now, and they took the money like we've talked about before. If somebody offered you that kind of contract, 100, 200, 300 million, you're most likely going to sign it because it's going to take care of you and your family for decades to come. And I don't really blame people for going, but it really hasn't helped the sport at all. At least not on the television and the professional end. In the 3 years that we've been doing this, ratings are down between 25 and 30% across the board. LIV Golf ratings are even worse than that, because as much as that's what the Saudis want to do, they want to have shotgun starts and team golf. That's what they built it on. And it's not the worst idea, but I just don't think the American public is ready for that, or even wants that outside of the Ryder Cup or President's Cup. So I don't know if that's ever going to be something that we're all going to want to see. But it's just sad, in my opinion right now, that the only two tournaments that we really get to see everyone play at the same venue is the Masters and the Open Championship. You can see some at the U.S. Open because of qualifying from the USGA, but the PGA Championship is out of the question now because those guys aren't allowed to play in it. So it's really watered down, and I really hope that this comes to a resolution pretty soon. I know that the policy board members on the PGA Tour have been meeting with the leaders of LIV and trying to work something out. It's still, even if they get something worked out this year, you're still looking at probably 2025 or 26 at the soonest to get anything in place that would allow those guys to come back to the PGA Tour and also potentially compensate some of the guys that stayed that didn't go, that LIV offered contracts to. The biggest issue is the LIV Golf Tour. While it's a unique idea, and I respect everybody's opinion, you know, to be able to do what they want to do, LIV Golf has the Saudis behind it, and they have over $700 billion able to throw at it. So that, I don't know how you break that up. I don't think the PGA Tour can match that, even if they wanted to. So to me, it's just really sad as a PGA member to see this going on at the professional level, because I really miss watching weekly events and watching, you know, all these guys compete and how they do it during the season and leading up to the Masters. And now with all this stuff going on in LIV and the DP World Tour and all the other tours across the world, while it's good for the growth of the game of golf, it's hard for us as a fan base to watch it and give us something to look forward to on the weekends to watch. So I really hope this gets worked out sooner than later, but I'll keep you posted on what I find out. And of course, you know, you can always check out the Golf Channel and an ESPN site for information on what's going on. But let's all keep our fingers crossed that this gets done sooner rather than later, especially with the Masters coming up in a few weeks. Also going on right now, it doesn't really have anything to do with bowling or golf, my two sports I'm a professional at, but March Madness is, of course, all on our minds and maybe one of the coolest college events or actually sporting events that we watch all year long. Even the casual fan that doesn't even know anything about basketball has a great time picking teams in the bracket. And I know I certainly enjoy it. I like the one and done scenario. While it's not always fair how the teams are chosen, I can relate. I was on the national committee for women's bowling for 4 years. And before we had automatic qualifiers, we used to have to do at-large bids. It was only 8 teams that were allowed to go to nationals. And there were so many things to look at. Looking at RPI and strength of schedule, head-to-head competition, and all the other facets that we had to consider. And then trying to get a committee on the same page, it's very, very difficult. The men's and women's basketball committees are made up of mostly athletic directors. Athletic directors are great at running schools and running their programs and running their sports programs in their schools, but they may not always look at the same things that us as fans look at. If a team played a team without certain players, if the game's on the road or away during the season, they might not, you know, what conference they're in, how tough is their non-conference schedule. So, of course, teams get left out every year that probably should be in or could easily qualify for the tournament, and they don't. But it's also a great thing for the mid-majors that otherwise would never have an opportunity to compete for a national championship, and look at all the great things that have happened over the years with teams we never expected, you know, getting to the Final Eight or Final Four. So it's just a really cool process for us to watch all of it. And I'm looking forward to the game starting this week on Thursday. The final, first two games were last night, and there's two more today on Wednesday. And then the games, it's wall-to-wall basketball on Thursday and Friday, which is awesome. Just looking at the bracket, the four number one seeds, UConn, Houston, and I think North Carolina. And let's see, who's the other one here? I forgot. I got to look at my notes. Purdue. So those four teams are going to be favored to get out of their brackets, their respective 16-team brackets, but it's going to be tough for anybody to get out of there. These teams are so good, and when you get into this kind of situation where it's one and done, really anybody can beat anybody, and we'll enjoy it. I know a lot of people bet a lot on these. It's probably the biggest gambling weekend or week of the season with all the things that go on and bracket busters and whatnot, but it'll be great to watch all these games. And I know last year FDU beat Purdue, so we had, you know, 16 beating a 1, and there's a lot of awesome matchups. I'm not going to go through them all because I know you guys can do that, but I will definitely look forward to seeing all these games and seeing how it works on the men's side and the women's side. On the men's side, my pick is UConn. I think they're the best team in the country overall, but there's probably 6 or 7 teams that are capable of winning a national championship. The 4-1 seeds, of course, Marquette is capable. Iowa State is capable. Tennessee is capable. So it'd be really cool to see how it shakes out. The women's side, now that Caitlin Clark, who I talked about last time on my podcast, has decided to turn professional, this will be her last go-round in the tournament. So we're really looking forward to seeing what she can do with Iowa and how far they can go as a team. South Carolina comes in unbeaten. And we'll see if they, that would be quite an accomplishment if they can run the table and win six games in the tournament and win a national championship again for Coach Dawn Staley. She's done an incredible job there. And there's so many women's teams now that the women's side is much more interesting than it used to be. 10 years ago, it used to be all the high seeds. And now there's a lot of teams that are very, very capable of pulling upsets. And it's just great. And plus, I think a lot of us can relate to the women's game sometimes more than the men's, because it's the men's is still based on threes because the three-point line is in a little bit closer for college. But it's not as much like back in the 70s and 80s, yeah, with a big man dominant and then just, you know, kicking out the guys to shoot jumpers. Now it's about passing and setting screens and, you know, if your zone defense is any good, the women do more of that and have to do more of that just because just the way the game is with them. And it's great to watch. It's just beautiful basketball when it's done right. So I'm looking forward to it. Of course, I think Iowa can win a national championship with Caitlin, but it's not going to be easy because on their side of the bracket, they've got LSU to deal with, who they lost to in the finals last year, and also UCLA, who was really very good. On South Carolina's side, they've got Notre Dame as a two, Oregon State, who was really good. So those are going to be tough games for them if it gets to that. Texas is a one seed. They're capable. USC is a one seed. They're very, very solid as well. Then, of course, you got UConn in there, who you can't count Geno out no matter what, with 11 national championships. So it's going to be really, really cool. So for a couple of weeks, we're all going to be focused on basketball. That's for sure. And it'll be great to see. And I know I'll be watching. I'm sure you guys all will be too. Well, I'm going to keep this one short today because I'm going to do another podcast probably around Friday, just to update everybody on how the brackets have gone and where we are going into the weekend. And then any updates on golf or bowling that I come up with. In bowling and on the college level, this is conference championship weekend. And all the conferences are playing their conference championships, so their automatic bids will be taken care of by Sunday the 25th, I think it is, or 23rd. And then they'll have a selection day this coming week, or next week rather, about a week from today, and we'll see who goes to the NCAA College Bowling Nationals and how the four regionals will shape up. So I'll get into some of that as well. As always, you can email me maybe your picks you have for Final Four on either men's or women's side at joeambrose@pga.com. I'd love to hear from you guys. Thank you so much for everybody that's supported my podcast to this point. I enjoy doing this and being able to chat with everybody about the things that I'm thinking about or what's going on in golf, bowling, and other sports. And this is really cool to be able to do it. So thank you for listening. And keep listening, enjoying, and sharing. I really appreciate as we go forward. So thanks for listening. Have a great week. And I'll talk to you in a couple of days. Thank you. Bye.